To share with you this morning about hospitality. And hospitality is different than just being friendly with greeting people at the door when they walk in. It is much deeper than that. It's actually biblical. And so hospitality must be a priority. Amen? Hospitality must be a priority. And God loves people. And as believers, we have recognized and we've experienced his deep love that he has and the compassion of God. Amen? Amen? And so, Scripture tells us of a personal God who actively and passionately pursues a relationship with humankind. And the Apostle Paul, he tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 9, he tells us that the Lord is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And the greatest commandment of all in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 37 and 39, it says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything. And the second is like this, that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. So the Bible is full of examples of hospitality towards believers, towards unbelievers, towards foreigners, towards widows, towards neighbors, people who are poor, children, and any other people that you could think of. Jesus has even said that when we show hospitality to others, we are showing him. We are showing him, and we are showing it to him as well. So when I am hospitable with you, I am showing Jesus that I am being his hospitable as well. It's a pretty important area of what we're going to do going forward as a church. Amen? Throughout history, the liturgy and the style of the churches have changed. If any of you know, if you've been as saved as long as Dave Patterson, he could tell you there's different styles and the different liturgies over the years of how it's changed. If any of you grew up in a non-Pentecostal charismatic background, if you come from an Anglican background or a Catholic background, the liturgy and the style is different. And over the years, it's changed. However, there's a message of the church that has never changed. And that's hospitality. And hospitality should be a priority. It should be a priority. Why? Because God is love. God is love. And we are instructed to show hospitality. We see that in Hebrews Gospel 13 and 2, in 1 Peter 4 and 9. We are to love one another according to John 13, 34 and 35 and Romans chapter 13, verse 8. There is one thing, I read an illustration this week about a man, and it goes like this. He goes, there's only one thing I regret about my wedding. It was the wedding reception. I got married in my hometown. My wife, Stacy, is from Oklahoma City. So obviously, we hosted so that many of my friends and families were there, but not hers. And because of that, I was so focused on serving everyone at the reception that I left my wife standing there all by herself. I was worried about greeting and hosting everyone. I neglected to enjoy time with her. I let my service overwhelm the whole event, what the whole event was all about. And to this day, that's one thing that Stacy says she wishes I had done differently, simply been with her at the reception. I was so focused on the task in front of me that I didn't focus on the person. And in many churches, the guest experience that Stacy experienced, people experience when they come in. The service is excellent. The clip starts when it's supposed to start. Everything is on cue. It starts. We pray. We do everything well. Not a single task is left incomplete. But the guest feels neglected. The guest feels neglected when they come in. They feel served, but they do not feel hospitality. This is deeply from my heart, okay? This is very deep in my heart, this message. It's been stewing for a long, long, long season. Churches love to talk about serving and how friendly they are and how loving they are. Unfortunately, churches have used the term serving so much that we never really hear about hospitality. We don't ever talk about the feeling. Serving is doing more than just completing tasks, right? Amen? But what happens when our serving actually hurts someone's experience when they come in? We have everything down, so bum, 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 bum. And everything that we do actually hurts someone who comes in, as opposed to us thinking that we're blessing that person. No matter how over the top the service is, if it doesn't connect with the emotions of the guest, it isn't hospitality, because hospitality is about a feeling. It's about a feeling. A business, for instance, I'll give you an example, wants a product that the customer will love. Amen? Amen? So I love Apple products. The experience of going into the Apple store makes you want to buy an Apple product so much more. So you have this amazing product, but oh my goodness, the customer service is over the top. However, if the product is perfect, but the experience of the store or the shipping or the ordering process is bad, it just wrecks the whole thing. And great customer service, in our case, is great hospitality. And it removes any negative emotions from the guest who is coming into the house. Amen? And as a church, we want to remove negative emotions that might get in the way of the ministry that we're providing. Thank you, first time coming here and asking for prayer and coming up. I'm glad that you felt the hospitality and the love so that you could trust us to do this, that the things we do did not get in the way of the heart, of the prayer, of the love for God and the love for people here. So thank you for trusting us this morning and praying for you. As a church, we want to remove the negative emotions that might get in the way of ministry. We have great ministry. We aren't trying to manipulate someone so that they're happy and they're happy in their feelings so that they will come back. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to care enough for our guests to replace negative emotions so real ministry can happen. And that's when we start to see the comeback effect. That's when people start to come back. You were here on Father's Day, to both of you, and you came back. And you know what? Thank you for coming back. You know, I hope it had to do something with the hospitality of the house, you know. I know your pastor in Hamilton. We went to school together, you know. So just thank you for that. We're trying to care enough for our guests to replace the negative emotions so real ministry can happen. That's when we start to see people coming back. Hospitality is caring about the emotion of the guest just as much as it is serving the guest. Amen? It's even more than that. This means knowing when to go above and beyond, and it means knowing when to back off. Have you ever been into a store where you had a keen salesperson and they were so helpful, but you just couldn't get rid of them? And they drove you crazy. I'm not talking about that. It's knowing how to do both. So folks, this morning, just for a moment here, let's reimagine what it means to be a guest and what it means to add feelings back into it. That means prioritizing the feeling of the guest over the task that we perform. Amen? Amen? Some churches have parking lot attendants. If you've ever been to larger churches, and even this church is not a large church, we once had a parking lot attendant. His name was Jack, if you remember. And we had when he was alive, and he showed more than service to each of you and the guests that were coming in. He showed hospitality. Am I right? He showed hospitality. And this could be true of any ministry, of anything that we do, but I'll use the parking lot attendant as an example. They can get so busy simply parking the cars that they forget that there's a real person that's driving in behind the wheel, and maybe that family is experiencing all sorts of stresses, whatever it looks like. But hospitality looks different. It acknowledges feelings. And as a person looks for the parking spot, they are experiencing feelings when they come in. They might feel anxious, confused, overwhelmed by a new place coming in. I remember at the first time we've been here, coming up on 18 years, the same people that deliver the mats here every week that they come in and clean mats for you. So you come in and you have a nice clean church. And I remember one of the fellows, once he was coming into this place, and you could just see during the week he was looking around like this, and it was like strange. It was like someone walking into a courthouse or into City Hall for the first time. And so our mascot, Maggie, charged him in full bum wag. And yes, we have Maggie is on the pastoral staff at this church, okay? Maggie is the best greeter during the week, you know. And on Sunday, if she was here, she could teach you people a few things too. So we just showed hospitality to that person, because you could tell the emotions, what they were experiencing coming in here. It was so foreign to them, you know. We walk in, we've had this building for 20 years, we walk in, we're comfortable. You know, I come in on a Sunday morning, and there's cushions in some of the places, because we have cushions in the prayer room there. Someone has a little owie in their back, they go get a cushion. You know what? It's become like our big living room. It's become a place, it becomes a place of love. It becomes a place where family hangs out, where we sing together, where we do all these things. But for the guests coming in, that's not the example for them. So think of a time when you visited a church or a new business. You probably had an impression of that place, and you formed a decision whether you were going to stay away from that place or you were going to visit again. Thank you for coming to visit us again from Ottawa as you drop your son off. The last time I think you were here was for basketball. And so thank you very much for joining us again this Sunday. We over the years, we've had people like from Elliott Lake. We've had people from all over now that come every summer. And, you know, so just think of a time when you visited a church or a business and you probably had an impression of that place. And yet there's times when we could pinpoint why we like a church, why we like a business, but there's other times when we're not sure why we liked it or we disliked it. It's just something that we felt. It's just something that we felt when we go in. It just didn't feel right, or it did feel good. And there will be people who will return to this church, my friends, and there will be people who won't. And they don't know why they're not there. Some people, they don't know why they're not going to return, but it's a feeling that they have that they don't want to return to this place. And there's other people that are going to come, and it's a feeling. It simply felt good here this day. And there are others that won't be coming back. I don't want them. I want everyone to come back. And they can't explain why, but it's just a feeling. And the typical guest experiences many feelings during a visit to a church or a business, and many of them are not good experiences, are not good. And understanding those feelings is vital to a successful guest experience, but understanding is not enough. Excellence in hospitality means replacing those negative feelings that people would have coming in. When they walk in, they look around. You know what? You can't see it now, but there's these glass, the building's 20 years old. And so you could see that we need to replace some of the glass because the seals are gone and they get all fogged up. We don't notice that maybe, but when someone comes into the place and they look and they go, wow, you can't even see out the window here. You know, it's just one little thing. a typical guest experience many feel. So we need to understand this. And excellence in hospitality means that we replace those existing negative feelings that have when people come in. And if we remember those possibilities, we will deliver an opportunity to replace an emotion that shouldn't be here. We could replace a bad emotion with a positive experience. Amen? Amen. I've never preached a message like this before, okay? Okay? But it's the culture of who we are. And the role of hospitality is to protect the guests and how they feel and have the best experience possible. And we're all familiar with the idea of a bodyguard, right? In a movie, you could see the movie is going, it's fast, it's action and everything. All of a sudden, the movie slows down. And you see, it's like this. And the bodyguard jumps like this. And he takes the bullet for the person. And then all of a sudden, the movie speeds up again. And it continues on. Now, I know that that's pretty dramatic. But that's essentially the role that we should take for the guest. We are a shield. You are a shield for the visitor coming in. A bodyguard for that guest. Okay? Where you're sensitive. You're reading the situation. You're caring for that person beyond anything. We broker bad experience so the guest doesn't have to experience them. The guest doesn't have to feel lost when they can't find the washroom or the restroom. The guest doesn't have to feel embarrassed when their kid throws up all over the place, okay, in the children's room. What we want our guests to feel, what do we want them to feel? We want them to feel that they're welcome. So I want us to determine in our hearts how you will get the guests to feel good and stay away from bad feelings when they come in here. So I want to check out a list here. You want your guests to feel confident, safe, satisfied, accepted, hopeful, acknowledged, empowered, educated, pleased, comfortable, excited, interested, valued, relaxed, welcomed, familiar, included, refreshed, challenged, secure, in control, and delighted. Amen? Amen. You don't want your guests to feel confused, unsafe, skeptical, cynical, suspicious, ignored, annoyed, doubtful, angry, hurt, distrustful, rushed, uneasy, frustrated, overwhelmed, uncomfortable. So the key points in the takeaway for this morning is this. Serving, and many of you serve well, is task-oriented, right? Serving is task-oriented, but hospitality is feelings-oriented. And hospitality should make the way we perform our tasks. And great hospitality is shielding the guests from negative experience by throwing ourselves in front of the situation like a bodyguard, taking a bullet for something that we are protecting, okay? I don't know that what you experienced when you walked in here this morning. I don't know what your week was like. Some of you, I do know what your week was like. But there's a lot of emotion even when you come in here. And before you even get here in the morning, we're praying, we walk, and we stop. And as the Lord gives us discernment, we pray. And we pray for each person here. Even this morning, before the service started, we discussed this very message that I'm talking about, so that when the worship team is here on the platform, they're not necessarily providing a service for the church, but what happens is they're feeling They're feeling who you are. And maybe some of you, you know, what happens is because we're in Pentecostal circles, we think everyone is supposed to be jumping up and down all the time. And you know what? And everyone's, you know, and I said, just feel for the people when they come in. You don't know the people's situation. Let's show hospitality when we're providing worship for the people. I hope that Lee, when you come in here, you are experiencing more than just service, but you are experiencing hospitality. When you meet Jackie, when you come in here, I hope that you're experiencing hospitality as well. So I'm asking us to decide proactively what we want our guests to feel. I want this church to go from here, and I want it to go to there. Okay, I want it to be, I don't want it to be just assumed that someone comes in. Perfect example is, are you, Mr. Poncho, Mrs. Poncho, you know, Alfredo and Maria, when they came into this church. And I had been praying before Christmas, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, and Linda will tell you, I was right at home, and I said, Lord, send us a professional drummer. I said, Lord, we need someone who is so good on drums that the percussion will be amazing. And then that Sunday they showed up, and we talked to them, and I didn't want to be on top of them right away because I didn't want to overwhelm them, but I was sure happy that the Lord answered that prayer. And then what happened was, we're not going to get them to drum the first Sunday that they're here. We do have policies in place, but we cut the policy short a little bit when it came to them, because that the first week they came, they were in the prayer room, so that'll tell you what their heart's like. And so what happened was, Christmas Eve, they're here, and the Duquettes. And the Humphreys, I don't know which one it was. They invited you to their home to spend Christmas Eve with them. Okay, it's hospitality, folks. Okay, look, they're here today. Maria's with her mother and with her aunt, and they're here. They're part of the church here. They're part of, because they came back because they received hospitality. Is that right? Okay, we think that people are going to come back because we provide amazing worship, or how amazing your pastors are. And trust me, you've got some pretty good pastors. Okay? Hey, we have served a long time in our district. Okay? Don't ever take for granted the freedom that we have in this house. Don't ever take for granted that we do not practice sarcasm here. That this is a house of honor, that this is a house of respect, that this is not Ken and Linda's church at the corner of Marshall and Booth, but this is Jesus Christ's church, and we get to assist him, okay? That's the culture here. Don't take that for granted, okay? And we have worked hard to always maintain that so that no one here is more important than Jesus Christ, amen? Amen? Amen. So hospitality should change the way we perform our tasks. And great hospitality, as I said, I don't want to repeat myself, but it's shielding the guests coming in here from negative experiences by throwing ourselves in front of them. So I want to talk about culture for just a minute. I'm only going to be a couple more minutes here, folks. I know it's hot in here today. But culture, that's a buzzword now. Everything is culture, isn't it? Our culture this. We were just talking about the culture when I was talking to Pascal this morning about in Quebec. Well, I'm from Quebec. She was born in Paris, and so we were just talking about the differences between cultures and stuff like this. So culture is a buzzword, and you hear it everywhere. You hear it both in business, you hear it in church. But what does it mean? What does it mean? What is a culture, and what does it mean when we can apply it to our guest services when someone comes in? Well, simply put, culture is the identity of a people group. It's the identity of this people group here called Gateway Family. That's the culture. So what is our culture? What is the culture of this church? Oh, we've had people come in that wanted to bring a culture that was not welcome in this place, that if we hadn't managed it, it would have blown up the place. And so we've been very, very faithful. We can call it our DNA, we could call it our culture. But there is a culture in Gateway Church. But what does it mean? What is culture? Simply put, culture is the identity of a people group. It's who they are. It could encompass art, food, entertainment, traditions, and so on. And when you add all of these things, you get the group's culture. So what is the culture? And when hospitality becomes a cultural value instead of a service of what we do, it becomes part of a people's identity. Okay? And I want our identity here, yes, to be a people of prayer and hot for God. And I want us to be a people that we're known throughout our city, that if you go to Gateway Church, oh my goodness, it's intense. They love Jesus with all their heart. You never know what's going to happen. People could be prayed for any time in that period. We could break out into a testimony anytime. The worship team, they pick their own songs. They're not controlled. They could do whatever they want. They're allowed to express their giftings before the congregation, not in a controlled environment. Yes, we do all those things. And that's good, and that's why a lot of people like to come here. But what's our culture? Okay? And I want our culture, because those are the services that we provide. Those are the things that we do. But the culture of hospitality, okay, where it comes in. And I want us to all put our best foot forward when it comes to that. Because when someone walks through that door, okay, just think of yourself as a bodyguard. I could just see Sharon LaPlante now in that movie there. Just, come on, Sharon, do it with me. Wow, girl, you are a superstar. It's all good. And so when hospitality becomes a cultural value instead of a service, it becomes our identity. It becomes so ingrained in each member of the organization, in this case in the church, that we're just looking to do things in the correct behavior. A culture of hospitality isn't just something that you should see sitting in a church. It should be part of every ministry within this whole organization. And in closing, I want us to do this morning. I want you to close your eyes for a second and examine our church. Okay? Just amuse me this morning for a minute. And I want you to examine this church. Okay? Examine it. Close your eyes. Examine the church. And do you see proof of the comeback effect in our culture? Do you see the comeback effect where people come back because of the hospitality of the house? Because of not what we do, but the hospitality of how we feel and how people feel when they come into this place? Do you see that? What about the specific ministries within this church? So what can we do? What can we do? Do we create a culture of hospitality that compels guests to come back and experience more so that ministry could be provided for people and they're coming back because the hospitality was first, so that we could do real ministry with people because we have loved them first and we have loved their heart first. Amen? So, you know what, Richard and Nicole, did you come back over and over and over again, driving from out of town because of the hospitality here? Okay. A little bit. But you know what? I want it to be 100%. Because you know what? There's other Betty and Richard led us to the Lord. So that's why, that's why I call you Betty. Nicole and Richard. There are other Nicoles and Richards that have not come back here because they have not, we don't want to hear this, but they have not received hospitality. They have received good service. So it's something that I want us to pray about, and I want us, because you know what, the thing is, we could have every program in the world. We spend $7,000 one year on a VBS. which is a crazy amount of money. And you know what? I'm not in contact with one parent from that group. It's transient area. People move, whatever. And you know what? We could throw $10,000 at this, and we can throw... But if there's no hospitality attached to it, what good is it, right? So I'm just speaking from our heart. You know me, I'm an evangelist, and one of the reasons why I'm so successful with sharing the Lord with people is because I practice hospitality, because I always ask, I say, Lord, show me where you're at work in this person's life, in this person's heart, and let me join you. Okay, it's hospitality. It's feeling for the people. So moving forward, I want to see this house full, but not because we have, that we're going to start bragging, oh, well, we have this program, we have this program, but we are a culture of hospitality, a culture, yes, we love God with all our heart. Yes, we love people with all our heart. And let's demonstrate it beyond us to each other, to someone who would come in. Now, just remember, don't overwhelm people, okay? Like, you know, don't be obnoxious about it. But man, when you come to church, we always say, come to church prayed up, please. Come to church prayed up, okay? And so when you come to church prayed up, when you look around and you see someone, like, did you see the first part of that clip? Oh my goodness, you know, I got to be honest with you. There's been times when I've stood here and I've seen the first part of that clip even in this house. You know, I've seen it. And so this is not a rebuke. This is really an encouragement. Can we really start to go there? Because you know what? That is, like I said, styles change, everything changes. But you know, if you want modern day evangelism, okay, it's by putting hospitality to it. And if evangelism, the word evangelism scares you, then throw it away and just use the word hospitality, okay? Just use the word hospitality. But think beyond yourself and be aware of someone. So, Mr. Hamilton Mann, how does that sit with you? Is it good? Good. Have you felt that hospitality here? Good. Okay. So let's stand together, and I'm going to invite Micah and Jenna. And is there anyone else going to university? Next week we'll probably pray for our children as they come back, but right now for Maria, are you doing any schooling? Are you this year? Come on up here. And I'm going to ask Ty and Laura to come. And everyone extend a hand out to them. These amazing people, Maria's still going to be here, but she'll be in town. But Micah's going to be at York University. And Jenna's going to be at the Bible College. And hi. Oh, Nipissing. Wow. And so we're going to pray for them. And I'm going to ask Ty and Laura to pray. You can share it. And everyone extend a hand out to them. Emily, why don't you come? You're part of the leadership. And just who else is here from our leadership? And so, Micah, you are you have a bigger than life personality, okay? And you make your presence known wherever you are. But that's not a negative thing because you know hospitality. And the Friday night, I'll tell you now because you don't know this story, but there was a Friday night when Richard and I were sitting and we were watching you talk to Shay Lee, and she's one of our youth, and you never said a word and you listened intently to what she had, and you provided hospitality and love and respect into one of our youth. And that's what I love about you, and I commission you to carry that wherever you go, to be that person. Don't change your personality. Don't let anyone all try to alter your personality. But you know what? You be who you are. Jenna, I've seen you grow. oh my goodness, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. You said, I have not seen myself grow, you know, the way you're talking about. Oh my goodness. And you know what? You're going into third year at the Bible College, and the call of God on your life is so incredible. I'm so proud of you. You're so kind and generous, and you pray, and you practice hospitality so much, and your family towards Linda and I and towards everyone. Maria, you're a servant, okay? Like Maria says this morning to me, she says, it doesn't matter when I'm on the schedule, I will make sure that I will alter my life so that I'm available to do whatever I can to serve this church. And when she comes in here,
say it like that.
Well, and she comes in I heard you this morning talking to people on the platform and just saying how wonderful everyone is and just oozing love out to everyone. And for you, I don't know you all that well, okay? But you know what? You came up here to be prayed for, okay? And I honor you for that. And you know what? Just from our short conversation, I like you. I can tell you're a gentleman. And you come from a good family, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay? So let's pray. So I'm going to ask these guys to turn this on here, and you guys could pray over here. Is that good?
Yeah.